The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
All right, rolling right along this Monday morning on AM 1420, The Answer. Everybody, well, pretty much who is conscious, is talking about the extraordinary bill that was passed by the House, the Senate, now signed into law by Joe Biden. A nation $34 trillion in debt is about to spend another $1.2 or $1.7 trillion of Democrat dream spending, all in order to avoid a shutdown. It has angered a lot of conservatives, especially those who voted in favor of it, those who are conservative and who voted in favor of it. A lot of people scratching their heads on this one. One of those votes for it was cast by our friend Congressman Max Miller, Ohio 7, who joins us now to react to and respond to and maybe explain a little bit about why he decided to go forward with this vote, along with several other Ohio Republicans. So, Max Miller, Congressman, thank you for the time this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Bob. And thank you for the opportunity to come out here and address these issues with tough votes. And you know, I was proud to say that Saturday morning, as soon as we came back, I did a town hall in Brecksville at 9:30 a.m. to address a lot of the questions that I know people are going to have about this piece of legislation. So thank you for taking the time to have me on to go through this morning.
Oh, I could not have not done this, Max, because or Congressman, because I my phone just blew up with phone calls and text messages. Did you see this? Did you see this? And they were featuring you, among others, in large part because of where you are and where we are. You're not the only Ohio Republican to do this, obviously, but you are kind of being counted on by a lot of conservatives to be the conservative voice of reason. For example, when compared to somebody like Dave Joyce, who is hardly anybody's conservative, and I'm not trying to sit here and throw stones, but Dave Joyce has been a moderate at best, a rhino at worst, and so a lot of people are looking to you to stand up against this kind of thing and to vote against this. So people were hitting me with just, Bob, when will you talk to Miller? When will you get Miller on? Miller did this. Can you believe this? I said, let's do this. We'll try to get him on as quick as we can. So here we are.
Well, I got it too, Bob. Don't believe me.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
So let's start with your reason. According to what I think you put on Twitter, you said, I voted to pass today's funding package. It wasn't perfect, but it was better than the alternative. Six more months of Biden, Pelosi, Schumer spending. I'm going to need you to explain that part of this, because I don't understand how passing this bill reins in Biden, Pelosi, Schumer spending, particularly on some of the Democrat pet projects that this identifies.
Yeah, and I'm happy to go through all that. And just to start this off, I voted no on the last two previous CRs to shut the government down. And I want to go over that very briefly. Every situation in Congress, every piece of legislation that we vote on, it's all different. None of it is the same. Fortunately or unfortunately, in every situation is different. And the previous two situations, I voted no, along with Jim Jordan and Warren Davidson and all those hardline conservatives that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. But when it came to this specific bill, I chose to support it because the alternative was much worse, in my opinion. And we talk about the spending. I just want to go over a couple of things, Bob. This adheres to caps that taxpayers as much as $2.1 trillion over 10 years. It does do that. This is the FRA numbers that we agreed to more than 14 or 15 months ago with McCarthy. The top line number hasn't changed. It takes back $10.2 billion from President Biden's wasteful DEI and climate program. It cuts all of the funding. I want to repeat this. This bill cuts all of the funding to the United Nations agency that helped Hamas attack Israel on October 7th. That's UNRWA. We did get two HR 2 provisions in, regardless of what you hear, Bob, or anybody listening. We got 22,000 Border Patrol agents, funds for them to be rehired at the border, and an increased allotment in ICE beds. Now, I'm not going to say that the increased allotment in ICE beds is, you know, the cherry or the icing on the cake. But I will tell you, funding 22,000 Border Patrol agents to put at our border is a serious win. And what I want to do is cut through a lot of the disinformation. There's a lot of bad in this bill. There's a lot of good in this bill. But I would have voted to shut the government down if President Trump was in office, not President Biden. And at the end of the day, if you shut the government down, not only in an election year, but with President Biden at the helm, Bob, he gets more power, not less power. He becomes more powerful as the president of the United States. And this is somebody who voted no on the last two CRs.
How so? How does he get more spending power without you guys signing off on it?
So spending power or unilateral executive power to make our country hurt even more. During the Trump administration, when we shut down the federal government for 35 days, I remember President Trump and the administration talking about how they can constrain travel so the American people can hurt to turn on the Democrats. That's exactly what President Biden will do. The border will be wide open. These men and women who are not getting paid, he will have the executive authority to limit those people, as he already does now, but even more so. We can't push back in Congress. Doors will be closed for the House of Representatives. In terms of unilateral spending power, he already has the power out of the executive branch to give money and cluster munitions like we have already seen to foreign nations without congressional approval. He has already done this within the last 15 to 16 months. Shutting down the government with a senile president only makes him more powerful. Once again, if President Trump was in office, as somebody who voted no on the last two CRs, I would have done it this time. But what I see right now is this will only lead to more chaos. This isn't a huge win. It's not a huge loss. We did get some wins out of this. The problem is the Republican Party doesn't want to march together as a team, and we turn on ourselves. And we see this all the time.
Well, we turn on ourselves because we turn on ourselves, if I may, Congressman, because there are not nearly enough wins in this. There are not nearly enough wins. This is a Democrat dream, as almost every time we get out negotiated, they get. We ran Kevin McCarthy off as Speaker because of this type of negotiation.
Well,
Speaker
Bob,
Johnson has
much,
given.
This is Speaker, much worse than well, Speaker well, McCarthy.
I'm sorry?
I mean, how did we get here, Bob? Right? How did we? Let me finish that thought, if I could,
Congressman Miller. I'm going to finish the thought on this. The thinking was that Matt Gaetz and those who voted to get rid of Kevin McCarthy was to bring in somebody like Mike Johnson would be a much better negotiator and a hardliner on these budget battles, whether it be on the CRs. You know, they booted Kevin McCarthy for agreeing to another CR, more spending as usual, blah, 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 kick it down the road. Well, here comes Johnson. He has done the same exact thing with multiple CRs. Now, when it comes to this full-on budget bill, he surrenders on so many of the most core issues that the Republicans had without a fight. You talk about closing down the or shutting down the government would have completely opened the border. How would it be any different than what it is now? The only border resistance that is up right now is being done by the state of Texas, not by the federal government. It's already wide open, and we negotiated nothing to secure it, whether it be funds, whether it be change in policy or anything else. So, Congressman, that's why I think conservatives are livid right now. It's one thing to say, you know, there's going to be some wins in here and there's going to be some losses, but the key issue in this 2024 election cycle is the security of that border, and we got nothing.
And I completely agree with you, but we didn't get nothing. I respectfully disagree. Within that piece of legislation, I just said respectfully that we got 22,000 more agents that's going to be added at the border. And, Bob, I did go down to the border.
But
those
agents aren't repelling the invaders.
Bob,
they are welcoming them and saying, here you go. Here, go over here, Bob, to get processed for your asylum. I'm sorry. Go on.
The image that you saw the other day, okay, of all those illegal immigrants rushing the border.
Yeah.
Those were federal law enforcement. They weren't Texas National Guard, to be clear. And I want to repeat, how does it get much worse, Bob? And I know a lot of people get frustrated with this. And I don't want to make it, look, I'm not happy with this either. I've said it several times. But if you think that all of these men and women, okay, who are living paycheck to paycheck, they have car notes to pay, they have mortgages, they have families to feed, they barely get paid enough money to survive. So how does it get much worse, Bob? It simply gets much worse by people who already have a very tough job, who are doing their best to protect us. It's not the officers or CBP agents' faults at the border. It's this administration. And I am not going to take that out, the ire of them, to lessen our leverage. If we shut the government back down, I pose this question, how do you open it back up? Because you lose all the leverage. I respectfully disagree with the argument.
Well, what leverage
did
we have? What leverage are we using here?
But Bob, I'll tell you, the most important thing that I can see at the end of this year is getting President Trump back in office. And that is one of the biggest things. None of this is leading to that. All of this leads to is more chaos. We need to get the right pieces in place, and as I had said earlier, find the right target of opportunity to move forward with these initiatives. The reason why we didn't get as much as we want in this piece of legislation, it's simple. And it frustrates me and it pisses me off, too. But 218 Republicans don't want to play ball together. And that's what matters at the end of the day. That is our greatest leverage point. President Biden won't even take a meeting with the Speaker of the House. Bob, we can't even get a rule off the House floor thanks to 15 or 20 Republicans that would say that the sky is blue, because they're not in it to do the right thing. They're in it to elevate their platform and to fundraise, and we see that. And I want to go back. How did we get here? Before McCarthy was removed, we were 90% done with the appropriations process on the discretionary side. We had passed 8 single-subject appropriation bills before McCarthy was removed. How did we get here? Once again, Matt Gaetz removes him, puts us in paralyzation, and now we ended up with 2 minibuses because everyone wants to throw a Hail Mary when we can't even get 50% of the incremental wins that we need that would actually help the American people. That is how we got here. You know, they told you they were going to get a more conservative speaker in Mike Johnson. How did that work out? You know, the people who are pushing these initiatives need to sit down at the table and work together. Obviously, our conference is split. But when we continue to just fire at each other and not on the Democrats, that's how they get everything they want. And if you're a Democrat or if you're Leader Jeffries, you're looking over at the Republican conference every day and you're smiling because you have people who are sowing divisiveness within our conference who are making it impossible for us to get the conservative wins that we need. But at this juncture in time, with President Biden at the helm, this couldn't be a worse time to shut the government down. We want to
do it as soon as President Trump is back
in office.
A slight pushback here, though, but I mean, I'm looking at Ohio, at the 11 Congress members who voted for this, and your name is included with Chantel Brown and Amelia Sykes and Marcy Kaptur, for goodness sakes, and it was signed off on by Joe Biden. Did you not just hand them a giant win, especially Biden?
Well, I know, but Bob, we can go tit for tat. The majority of the Ohio delegation and Republicans, including myself, voted to support it because the alternative was much worse than this piece of legislation. I understand it sounds like we're going to agree to disagree, but I am answering everything directly. Once again, this is not the right time in this economy, in this presidential cycle, to do these types of things, and it wouldn't have been successful. No one can answer this question, Bob, and I'm happy. I mean, if you can answer it for me or if anybody else, I mean, please, how do we open it back up? How do you get the wins that you want if you shut it down when you're only one half of one third of a majority and you don't have the Senate and you don't have the presidency? And once again, I go back to, we can't pass a simple rule off the floor and 95% of what we're passing in Congress is going under suspension. And that's simply because the Republican Party isn't unified. So we need to take a look in the mirror. It's not just the speaker, Bob. It's not just leadership.
No, it's not.
It's other members in our conference like Matt Gaetz and all these other people like Marjorie Taylor Greene that want to bring in a motion to vacate only to bring more divisiveness and chaos and get us off the real enemy, which is the Democrat. Here we are having a conversation, Republicans ripping Republicans, when we should be taking the ire out on the Democrats and how we're going to get Trump back in office and clean up all of our seats within the state of Ohio. This is why the Democrats win, because they get people like you and I to go on these shows and to beat each other up while they're out there just patting everyone on the back. I'm just saying, this is something.
But the
that we're
reason
doing
they're patting themselves
conference.
On the back is because they won. They got what they wanted. They gave very, very little back to us, and that's kind of the point. I don't disagree with you about the split amongst Republicans being a problem. It is, but I guess here's the difference. What I think most conservatives, I think certainly most of my listeners, and probably most of your constituents want in terms of a unified Republican Party is to unify against the Democrats, not to vote with them on bills like this.
But Bob, I completely understand what you're saying. I just want to go over a couple of things because there are wins in this. And you're going to hear, and I know the loudest minority of our party is going to dominate this conversation with their message and how many followers they have. But, you know, I'm here and I'm speaking with you, and this is what I have, and I'm just going to say it. It cut state and foreign operations 6% from FY23. Financial services and general government, a 4% cut from 23. Ledge branch, 2.2% cut from fiscal year 23. Labor health, I'm not happy with it, only a 1% cut. It bolsters defense by $27 billion, and in Homeland Security, a $1.3 billion increase in FY23. Once again, this does have things for the border, and it's a 5.2% increase in military pay for our veterans and active duty members who are out there protecting us every single day. I understand that people out there feel as if we lost, but make no mistake, I'm not going to stand here and say that we didn't get any wins out of this, Bob, because we did. That's just simply not true.
Well,
is it the wins that we wanted to get? Is it the Hail Mary? No, it's not.
It is exactly that. Thank you. You just hit it. What wins did we get versus what losses? And moreover, for all of the cuts that you're talking about, it's offset by spending on things that are, again, you know, LGBTQ and transgender centers and more of this, butchering of our children. All of these things are in it. What about, can you speak to what we found out on Saturday? By the way, Thomas Massie called it evil. What hell is this evil or something of that nature? This new red flag law situation that the Department of Justice ordered, and you said, of course, as Massie did, of course, this comes in right after we vote on this budget bill, the extreme risk protection order, which is going to allow authorities to confiscate firearms from people based on allegations or accusations that somebody might not be safe with their gun. No due process. Gone. This is the kind of stuff the Democrats get.
Yeah, and I mean, they're going to have a lot of trouble enforcing that law when you run into a state like Ohio. I understand the implications it can have in liberal states, but if you're an Ohio gun owner, that is not going to apply to you. It's the same thing when it comes to essentially cannabis. Well, before it was legal within the state of Ohio, but when it was illegal, they're not going to enforce it. I mean, it's been here. It's the same thing. I understand Mr. Massie. I respect his opinion. Once again, there's a lot of good and a lot of bad. I understand that the alternative to this, in my opinion, was much worse. But everything that comes out of this, whether it's gender ideology or something like a red flag law, I've been fighting it. I mean, I'm a co-sponsor on Marjorie Taylor Greene's bill banning transgender surgeries until you're 18 years of age. And that's what I fundamentally do believe. We have things like that. And that's what so we can talk about these issues once again. But at the end of the day, Bob, and it's not that I'm trying to run in a circle, but how did we get here? And you know how we got here. And I know the tone of my voice probably seems a little calm. I got to tell you, I'm frustrated as ever. I got to go there every single week, deal with these people who only want to sow chaos, and we just want a little bit of progress so we can get President Trump back in office, because in my opinion, Bob, that's the only way we get this country back on its feet. And if we can do that, and then we have these other tough votes coming up, then I'm happy to shut down the government, as I've already taken two votes in this Congress in order to do so. But I take this job very seriously. I look at every piece of legislation. I weigh out the pros and the cons with my team. I went over this with the Republican Study Committee. And the biggest thing that I think that the American people have seen, and you have probably seen, President Trump has been pretty silent on this piece of legislation. He hasn't said much. And do you know why he hasn't said much? Because he's probably secretly wanted it to go through, as I had spoken with him earlier in the week. Because he wants this to happen. I mean, he's been very quiet. Trump world hasn't said a single thing about it. And so I would, please tell people to look into that as well. Because,
if I could get earlier in the week. Yeah, if I could get the former president on the line, I'd ask him these same questions. But I think he's a little preoccupied since they're trying to steal his real estate and property today, quite literally. So he's
a
little
two-tiered justice system.
Exactly that. Exactly that. Congressman Miller, I know these are not easy questions, and I know you're getting them from all over the place, so I appreciate you coming on and answering some of them. Like I said, I think we agree more than we disagree, but in this particular case, somebody needs to draw a really clear, distinct line in the sand and then guard it and not allow anybody to step over it. And this was one of the points I think we wanted. This was a time to stand strong and to guard that red line and not allow the Democrats to continue to spend our money on radical things that we simply do not have, while taking money away from things that are important, such as securing our border. And moreover, forcing a change in the policy, the asylum policy, before giving them all of that money that they wanted.
Right. And the last thing, and just thank you for having me on this morning to go over this. And look, this is why I do this, Bob. I appreciate you, because you bring me on, you ask me the tough questions, and I give you a direct answer. And that's why I did a town hall 12 hours, less than when I had taken the vote in D.C. But I do appreciate you giving me the platform, hearing me out. But, once again, the biggest leverage, and I just want to repeat it, that the Republican Party and the Republican Conference can have in getting conservative wins is why the Speaker can't even get a meeting with the President. And it's legitimately, and I know I say this out of jest, but it is the honest-to-God truth. If you put a piece of legislation on the floor next week, Bob, and we're back in session, authored by, Congressman Bob France, and you said the sky is blue, Bob, we don't have enough votes to pass it on the Republican side. Every vote has been going through suspension. Yeah. I want to make that abundantly clear for everyone who may not know, how that process works. I certainly didn't before I got there. But what I can tell you is this is not a normal Congress. We have individualists who are, you know, need to get on a team sport, and that is how we can actually get conservative victories and not eat ourselves alive.
Congressman Miller, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you. I know there's a lot more questions to ask in the days to come, and hopefully we'll be able to chat with you again for this morning. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bob.
You got it. There's Congressman Max Miller on Always Right Radio.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.